Good morning, church! Wow! 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 Listen, isn't God just wonderful? Isn't the Holy Spirit just so loving and so amazing? Ah, it's such a joy to fast. I pray we will fast more so that we can break out of the flesh and get into the realm where we belong. This morning, just honor Him. Precious Holy Spirit, we appreciate You right now. We give You thanks and praise. We honor You in the name of Jesus. Thank You for today, Lord. Thank You for yesterday and the day before yesterday. Thank You for all that You have in store for us. Lord, Your basket is full of precious stones. Your basket is full of treasures. And You are getting ready to distribute more and more and more and more. Daddy, we are grateful this morning. Daddy, we honor You this morning. We say there is none like You. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Your grace. Thank You, Father. Thank You for the strength. Thank You for Your mighty hand that is mightily resisting the works of darkness, exposing darkness, exposing the work of the enemy, bringing to the light what was in the dark. I give You praise this morning, Lord, that this indeed is our year of discipleship. You are discipling us, and through us You are discipling others. Thank You, Father. Take all the glory this morning. I thank You for the mighty healings that are taking place right now as I pray. I thank You, Lord, for the mighty deliverance, the eyes of the blind that are open, the ears of the deaf that are open, the crippled in life and in physics that are walking by the power of Your holy word. Take all the glory this morning, Jesus. We love You. We love Your presence. We love Your mercy. Thank You, Jesus. Jesus, we honor You. Jesus, we bless You. Take all the glory. Take all the honor. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Amen. Celebrate Jesus with me. Hallelujah. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. This is Pastor Pascal welcoming you once again this morning to our live experience online. Hallelujah. Those of you that are joining for the first time, Happy New Year 2024 to you. And this is our year of discipleship. I believe that you're going to turn into a wonder this year. Amen. By the grace of God. Amen? Amen. And if the Lord is ministering to your heart, feel free to support this ministry. This ministry is changing lives only because people are supporting it. First of all, because God is backing it up, but also because of the generous gifts of people just like you. Never stop paying your tithes. Never stop giving. It is what allows us to do what we do. Praise the Lord. So the details are appearing on your screen. Do well to support. Do well to help wherever you can. A lot has to happen this year by the grace of God. And every single cent will count. Amen. Amen. Just to remind you, we have just completed week 2 of our 21 days of glory. Yes. Yes. The first week was a week of consecration. This past week was a week of communion. And I believe that we are getting closer and closer to the actual agenda that the Lord has for us this year. Acts 13 verse 2, the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. This is something you should expect when you are fasting and ministering to the Lord through your prayers and your worship and your surrender. Every time people genuinely fast and genuinely minister to the Lord during that fast through prayer, worship, and other things, reading of the word, the thing that is bound to happen is that the Holy Ghost will speak. Has He spoken to you since we started 2 weeks ago? Expect to hear His voice. The Bible says the Holy Spirit spoke. Now, separate to Me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.
Now it's interesting that the Holy Spirit spoke in this time of fasting regarding the ministry of two people. One thing you can expect the Lord to do is to provide direction for the work he has called you to do. He was asking that these two should be separated because there was something specific he had them, he wanted them to do. Please don't just fast. Fast with expectation. Regarding your cell, regarding your basanta, regarding your branch, regarding your family, wherever God has put you in charge, expect direction. May your ears open. May your eyes open. May your dreams change so that you can start seeing and hearing what God would like you to do. Don't be deaf. Don't be blind. In this season, one of the things that will happen is that God will speak direction to you regarding what steps to take, which way to go. A strategy will be unleashed to you. Something that will change your ministry, something that will change what you've been doing, will be unleashed, will be placed into your hands. Hallelujah. I'm excited about that. That as they fasted and ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke. And that was the beginning of the missionary work of Paul the Apostle. That touched continents. That touched countless lives. That led to the writing of 2/3 of the New Testament. Everything started with this instruction. I pray that as we enter the last week of the fast, an instruction will hit you that will touch generations to come. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yeah. Well, we are closing the fast next Sunday with a combined anointing service. Oh, yes. We are all coming together. I want to say everybody, even if you have to sit outside, everybody has to come and receive an anointing. Why are we doing this? The Bible says in Acts 10:38, I like to use the word for everything I do. The word is the sure. The Bible says that we have this sure word of prophecy. The word of God has been tested 7 times. No word of man has been tested even once or twice. So I want to trust the word of God more. Now, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. I would like you to put your name there. How God anointed Pascal with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about. That's the first manifestation of an anointed person. Movement, speed. Things start happening. Things are stuck where there's no oil. Even a car that hasn't moved for a while, the wheels get locked because there's no oil, there's nothing. For you to get things going, you need to pour oil sometimes. And then oil starts lubricating those joints. And before long, you start having thrust. If your life is stuck, it could be a lack of oil. If your business is stuck, it could be a lack of oil. Anointing is not just for ministry. Anointing is for industry too. If you read your Bible, Zerubbabel, that the Bible talks about in Zechariah 6 verse 4, was not a priest, he was a king. The anointing is not just for ministry. The anointing is for living. The anointing is for teachers, for students, for mothers, for fathers. Everybody needs to be anointed, because without the anointing, you can do nothing. Jesus, apart from you, you can do nothing. He wasn't just talking about ministry. He was talking about being fruitful and productive in any endeavor of your life. It requires the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I mean, Saul was anointed king. Was he a priest? Was he a pastor? He was just a king. But he needed to be anointed for him to function as a king. Every single person, a businessman that is anointed, will be very different from a businessman that is not anointed. A student that is anointed is different from an unanointed student. A husband that is anointed, a wife that is anointed, will perform their duties way better than an unanointed husband and wife. We need the anointing. How God anointed a carpenter. And he turned into a wonder. He started moving. So many destinies have been stuck in the same spot for years now. Nothing is moving. arrested by generational curses, arrested by evil altars, arrested by the wickedness of man, arrested by the bad economy, arrested by your past, man, is that nothing wants to move until a drop of oil from heaven touches your head. And those things start crumbling down according to Isaiah 10:27. The Bible says, and the anointing shall destroy the yoke. He went about doing good. You start going, you start doing. And you enter the supernatural. You start healing. Healing talks about the supernatural. Look, an anointed person goes, does, and then you also tap into the supernatural. Like your results become abnormal. Supernatural. Who are possessed of the devil. You start contact, you start affecting and seriously affecting the kingdom of darkness. Like you go to the real source of problems, which are demons, evil spirits. An unanointed person cannot affect the spiritual realm. But when you become anointed, you start going to the real source of problems. The real source of your family not having enough. The real source of your things always breaking. The real source of difficulties in your life is the lack of anointing. Is the lack of oil. I pray that you open your eyes to that. Number four, and for God was with him. The presence of God, that glory that we are trusting God for this whole year. The Shekinah glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm saying all of this to just encourage you. Don't miss next week, Sunday. Don't say, I'm not into the ministry, so I don't need the anointing. Whatever you are into, with the anointing, you will do better. You will do way better. Hallelujah. Man, everybody in this church must be anointed. You must be anointed so that you can function well. Unction is for functioning. Unction to function. I mean, you don't only function as a pastor, you function as a father, you function as a teacher, you function as a student, you function as many things. And it takes unction to function. You are receiving it in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Quickly this morning, let's continue with our little series, Impactful Living. Oh, yes. Impactful Living. Amen. Say with me, I will live a life of impact. Through my light, many will see light. I am alive to give life in the name of Jesus. Psalm 36 verse 9, the Bible says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. My prayer for you, I don't know how long you're going to be on earth, but I would like to hear somebody say one day about you, through her, I saw this. Through her, I became this. Through him, I got here. That's what I'm talking about. And I pray that there will be more than one person that will be able to make such a statement about you. That through your light, through your revelation, through your life, we got life. A life of impact, like I told you last week, is a life that touches other lives. A life of impact is a life that touches other lives. Just like matches. Once one match is on fire, you bring it next to the other match, it catches fire. And it just kept catching fire. From the first one, it started impacting all the other matches. If my life is truly impacted, other lives should become impacted through my life. When you see people that are not impacting anybody, it's because, to be honest, their own life is not impactful. And their own life hasn't been impacted enough. It hasn't impacted much. The master himself, we see him at work here. In the book of Acts 4:13, the Bible says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that these were unschooled, like this guy were not supposed to produce this type of results. What we are seeing here is not normal. This guy, I mean, everybody knows if you went to Yale, if you went to Oxford, and hey, we can expect this. But you went to Swahili, you went to JM, you went to this small school. All of a sudden, you are producing Yale and Oxford, Cambridge level of results. It is very, very unusual. So the people were very surprised that these guys were unschooled. They were not trained. They had not gone through the discipline of education and academics. And they were ordinary men. I mean, just everyday people. Everyday people. I'm talking to you about a master impactor. He took unschooled people. Ordinary people, that there's nothing special. An ordinary person means it's a common person. It's a regular person. It's an everyday person. There's nothing special about the person. But the Lord Jesus took those guys, Peter and John. And the Bible says, they were astonished. That is how people will be astonished at your disciples. People will be astonished at people that have come through your hands. They were astonished. They were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They had been with, the being with Jesus impacted them so much. It changed them that they went from ordinary and unschooled to an astonishment to their world. But this was not from Cambridge. This was not from Yale. This was not from the University of New York. This was from discipleship by Jesus in the lives of these guys. Proverbs 27 verse 17, the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so a person sharpens another. True impact must be a sharpening from you to another person. How come you are with a person the whole year and nothing looks like you've been with them? How can you be with a person a whole 2 years and there's no sign of sharpening? We can't say they've been with so and so. We can't hear you through them. We can't see you through their actions. They are still doing things the way they've always done them. Man, how can it be? If not that the person they are with has no impact. Has no impact. Three and a half years that this guy was with Jesus. He removed every ordinary in them. He removed every unschooling in them. He turned them into astonishments. We have been people 5 years, 7 years. They are looking worse. You see, that thing is about to change in the name of Jesus. That thing is about to change. This is your year of discipleship and this is your year of impact. It's your year of impact. Man, how can you be with your child? Ever since your child was born, he's been with you. No change. In fact, the child has turned into a monster before your eyes. Who are you blaming? The teachers? The TV? No. I think we should start taking responsibility. And asking ourselves, what has been my impact in this great opportunity that God has given me to be with this human, to be with this other human? What is my impact? Could it be that there's nothing I have to offer? That a soul is passing in my hands for however long that's going to be, and I haven't impacted the person at any level so ever. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another person. Listen to me. Whether you are aware of it or not, sharpening is expected of you every time somebody comes across you. If a human being comes across you and they are not being sharpened, then you are failing in your job. You are failing in your job. Sharpening must happen every time two human beings come in contact. And I'm asking you the question, how many human beings are you in contact with? Now, not the same degree we are in contact with people, but there are some people you are in contact to a greater degree. Do you realize that you are responsible for their sharpening? You are responsible. Now, God wants you and me in 2024 to have a life of impact, to live a life of impact. That's why he gave us Matthew 28 verse 19 rather. Go therefore and make disciples. That's impact. You will not find, isn't it? Go and find disciples. Go and look for disciples. Go and make them. In other words, you're going to find people that are not disciples, and but through your impact in their life, just the way Jesus did, they will become something they were not initially. That's what it is. It's a life of impact. And this morning, for the time I have, today's message is, you are created for so much more. You are created for so much more. Say that with me. I am created for so much more. I am created for so much more. So much more. I don't know what you are thinking about yourself, but you are more than that. I don't know what you are envisioning about yourself, but I promise you, he says his ways are higher than your ways. So whatever you are thinking, it is so much more than what you are thinking. Whatever you are seeing, it is so much more than what you are seeing. Don't be deceived by your little vision, by your little understanding. There is so much more. 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 I don't know what you have at the moment, but he has created you for so much more. So much more. This is the first time I'm giving the title of a message with three dots. I didn't give you the whole title. You are created for so much more, but three dots. You are created for so much more, but three dots. Psalm 82, verse 6 to 7. I said you are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. That's what I said. But you will die like men. That shall never be your story and my story in the name of Jesus. Our bat should not be a bat that takes us down. This morning, my bat is a bat that directs you to becoming that thing in the name of Jesus. Now, our actions, whether you realize it or not, are usually a reflection or a revelation rather of which influences are inside of us. I started talking about this last week. We are influenced by things. We are influenced. The sooner you realize that your actions are not just your actions. Your actions are the result of influences. And the most prevalent or the most dominant influence in your life usually gain mastery over you. And you act, speak, feel, whatever you do is based on the dominating influence or the dominating force. Or shall I say, the dominating spirit in your life. Are you with me so far? Yes. Galatians 5 verse 9. A little yeast works through the whole back batch of dough. A little yeast. When you see the dough lifting, you might think that the dough is having a good time. But the dough is responding to an influence that you don't see. There's something happening to the dough that is causing it to swell. There is an inner influence. There is an invisible force that is motivating the actions of this guy that you can't see. That's the reality of every person that is watching me right now or listening to me right now. Is that you think you are the one doing it. But what you don't realize is that there's an influence behind it. There's an influence. There is a spirit that is directing your moves. But it's so gentle. It is so subtle that most of the time you don't pick it up yourself. You are not aware. You are just thinking it's you. I'll give you an example. Come with me to Luke 9. 55 to 54. The Bible says, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to come to command fire to come down from heaven and consume these people just as Elijah did? Now, these guys were moving, and then some people started attacking Jesus. So they became so angry, and they said, Jesus, do you want us? We can call fire right now, and we'll burn all these guys. The Bible says, Jesus said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. That was his answer to them. When they're asking him, do you want us to call fire to come and consume this guy? He says, you don't know which spirit is controlling you right now. So there's a spirit that has taken control of you in my presence. Jesus is present. Jesus is with the disciples. But another spirit that is not the Holy Spirit has entered them, and it is now leading them and pushing them to want to call fire from heaven. What I'm interested in here is not really the spirit. It's the fact that he says you do not know. He says you are not aware. You are thinking it's just your little, maybe... let's say maybe maybe you are not happy. Your unhappiness about what just happened, you know, your annoyance. That's right. You are annoyed by what just happened, and then you are just no. But you are not just reacting to an annoyance or an annoying act. There's an influence that is at work in you right now. There's an influence. And like I'm saying, the problem is they didn't know. These are people that Jesus is raising to save the world. They are now influenced by a spirit that wants to start killing the world. The very same people that they are supposed to be saving, they are now calling fire. I mean, if you give them this permission, it means anybody that owes them money, they call fire. Anything that was done, they just call fire. They just start calling fire left, right, and center. Everybody start running away. They become fire masters. So, Jesus was raising them up to have compassion, but they are having passion, not compassion. They are having some serious passion now. Do you get it? So Jesus is saying, no, you don't understand. I have a plan for you to make an impact in the very lives of these people. But the spirit that is working in you right now is not going to help at all. And if you don't address that spirit, you will not have the impact you're supposed to have. You will not have the impact. I tell you, the people that God has sent you to, you can have a tremendous impact in their lives. But depending on which spirit is operating in you. If another spirit is operating in you, the people that are supposed to be impacted by you will be, you know, affected by you negatively. So that's why I want to take a few minutes. I'm not going to preach for long today, but I just want to take a few minutes and make you aware of some of these spirits that are impact fighters. Things that you should be aware of. As you want this year to be a year of, we want this whole year to be a year of impact. Discipleship is about impact. It's about changing the lives of people. Hallelujah. And for us to be people of impact this year, we need to look deeply into these things. Number one, you are created for so much more, but you must get down. I've started. You are created for so much more. So much more is supposed to happen. So much more is supposed to be accomplished. So many lives are supposed to be touched. So many things are supposed to be accomplished. Yes, you are created for so much more. And I agree with you. But you must do what? You must get down. John 12, verse 24. Verily, truly, sincerely, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. No impact. No impact. Nobody's changed. You remain alone. Unless you do what? Get down. Fall down. But if it dies, it produces, say with me, impact. Kola masakala. It produces the same thing that was just, could only be alone, single, cannot, the same thing become productive. Productive means things start coming out of you. That's production. When you say that there's a production firm here, I mean, they bring things out. It starts producing, say with me, impact. It produces many seeds. But the first thing, it must go down. Are you with me, people of God? Oh yes, you are created for much more. But get down. Get down first. What am I talking about? Get down first. It says fall to the ground. Falling to the ground usually gives the picture of humility. Going down. Going down. Going down. The Bible says in the book of James 4:6 that he gives more grace. That is what scripture says. God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. To the humble. To the humble. Show me a person that is walking in humility. I show you a person that is going to have great impact. Show me a person that is full of pride. I will show you a person that will end up alone. Nobody will follow the person. Nobody will have, no, there will be no impact in the life of this person. Most people that you see with that impact, most people that you see with that results, most people that you see with that fruit, if you check deeply, there's pride. There are other things, but the first thing, there's pride. I'm too proud to learn. I'm too proud to ask questions. I'm too proud to be corrected. I'm too proud to be instructed. I'm too proud to be directed. I'm too proud to be discipled. I'm too proud to be everything. And because without pruning, there's no fruit, so you remain alone. So there's that falling side that must happen. We'll go down to go up. Then he talks about dying. Dying. So you fall, then you must disappear. Wow. This generation that is crying for attention, crying to be seen, desiring to be liked and accepted and wanted. Man is like the greatest addiction now, is approval addiction. A desire to be approved. Now he says, you must die. This is the person that's going to have impact. It doesn't start with impact. It starts with dying. It starts with dying. You must die. A man of great impact, Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3, he says, I die daily. Every day something dies. Every day wrong motives have to die. Anger has to die. Sex desires have to die. This has to. So many things must die for you to impact people. I'm talking to myself. A lot must die. Is it the reason why there's no impact? Because a lot is still alive. The passions are alive. The desires are alive. The moves are alive. Everything is alive. So there's no life. Real life must first go start with death. And you say, if you die, then you can live. Even to go to heaven, you must die first. You are not Elijah. You are not Elijah. You must die first. That's the way it is. You see, heaven has a greater dimension of everything, but the passage to heaven is death. For us, death is not the end. Death is a passage. That's the road we use to enter the other life. When you sow a seed, it looks ugly. It looks simple. It looks like nothing. When it dies, it comes out again. Resurrection. But when it comes out, it's beautiful. It's mighty. It's powerful. That's what happens with people of impact. People of impact, they don't have a problem going through the process. Enter the church now, you already want to be on stage. You already want to be seen. People must already see you. You must already have a beloved. Where is the death? I die daily. Daily. That is a good way to die. So when it was time to die finally, it was no more problem. He had been dying every day. Like just dying every day. People that don't die explain their actions. They blame other people for what is going on with them. And they don't take responsibility. So you know what? This thing must end. They explain why the thing must continue. I die daily. And the third thing he talks about, they say, it produces. Produces. Talking of productivity. It is in direct contradiction against laziness. In the book of Proverbs 12, verse 24, the hand of the diligent will rule. Get down to the job. Get your hands dirty. Your hands are too clean to rule. Your nails are manicured. They can't do much. Not that I have a problem with manicure. The hands of the diligent. When Solomon wrote this, there was no manicure, there was no computer, there was the production tool that people were using with their hands. So your hands needed to be tough. We didn't have the revolution that we have today where machines are working for us. So he's talking about hard work. He's talking about getting down to the job. Show me a man of impact, I will show you a hardworking person. But the lazy man will be put to forced labor. A lazy person ends up working by force. And usually not the job he likes. So you are created for so much more. It's true. Hey, but you have to get down. Get down. Get down to work. Get down. This year, if you can get down, I promise you, if you can get down, a lot of things will start taking place. Wherever you see things working, somebody is working. Where you see nothing working, somebody is not working. That is as simple as that. When you see things happening, they don't happen by themselves. Go on YouTube. There are people that have preached that message. Things don't just happen. There's nothing like that. I don't know why you are expecting things to just happen in your life. Get down to job. Number two, you are created for so much more. But you must get deep. You must get where? So after you get down, get deep. Get deep, get deep, get deep, get deep, get deep, get deep. We're talking about now your spirituality. A spiritual person will always have an advantage over an unspiritual person because they are deeper. Deep is calling unto deep. Deeper and deeper and deeper. John 6:63. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Nothing. So those that sow in the flesh, the Bible says they shall reap corruption. You are sowing in the flesh. You will reap corruption. But the Bible says those that sow in the spirit shall reap eternal life. The flesh has no profiting. It's like you are throwing money in the water. You will get nothing from it. There's no profit when you are doing things in the flesh. When you are in the flesh, when you are a carnal Christian, when you are a carnal person, the Bible says there will be no profit out of your life. There will be no profit. So a woman of impact, a man of impact is a spiritual person. It's a man of the spirit. It's a woman of the spirit. It's a person that values spirituality. It's a person that values prayer. They value fasting. They value reading the Bible. They value coming to church. They value serving God. They value all these things. That's what causes them to have a profitable life. They are deeper. Luke 4:14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Not the power of education. The power of the Spirit. He returned in the power of the Spirit. And news of him went out. Impact. Instant impact through the power of the Spirit. The Bible says in Luke 1:80. So the child grew. Talking of John the Baptist. And became strong in spirit. Strong in spirit, strong in spirit, strong in spirit, and was in the desert because of the nature of the strength. He could live in the desert as if he was in the palace. He was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Strong in the spirit, strong in the spirit, strong in the spirit. This is a person that is deep. You can't move them easily. Number three. You are created for so much more, but you must get back up. After you have gone down and you've gone deep, don't stay there. Get back up again in the name of Jesus. Here I'm talking against the spirit of discouragement. Many times when you start trying to achieve something, when you start trying to get impact, when you start trying to change things, there will be a lot of knocks down. There are going to be a lot of difficulty, a lot of disappointment. People are going to hurt you. People are going to attack you. Satan himself is going to attack you. And many times you're going to find yourself on the floor. But a man of impact, a woman of impact, cannot remain on the floor. You have to get up. You have to get up. You have to get back up and get back on the race and start running again. You cannot allow discouragement. You cannot allow discouragement. Show me a person that doesn't get discouraged. I will show you a person that will change their world. The Bible says, for a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he rises again. He rises again. Every time he falls, he finds a reason to rise up again. This is the key. Get up. Get back up again. 1 Samuel 30 verse 6. The Bible says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and his daughter. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself. You see, that is what men of impact do. I mean, the Bible doesn't say that, and the friend of David came to encourage him. And David was, and God encouraged David. No, David encouraged himself. This is bad news for people who like feeling sorry for themselves. People who like sitting around and expecting people to come in and wipe their tears. They want people to come and say, no, it shall be fine. What will happen if there's nobody to say it shall be fine? I mean, everybody wants to kill you. David looks to the left, killers. To the left, right, killers. In front, behind, he says, you know, let me encourage myself. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my rock. I shall not fall. Even when an army surrounds me, I shall still rise. He's speaking to himself. Four. You are created for so much more, but you must clean up. When you start now getting up and getting back to the job, you're going to start encountering and you're going to start connecting. You must clean up. Get clean up. Get clean up. There's no impact where there's sin. Nothing shreds impact quicker than sin, especially immorality. A man's impact and reputation can descend to the lowest abysses because of just rumors. Not even just allegations sometimes. That's all it takes. And the impact is shredded. It's finished. How much more when it is no more allegation, when it is no rumor, it is actually what is happening? How much more? If you and I want to become people of impact, the battleground must, the line must be drawn clearly regarding where we can go and where we cannot go. Because there's no man of impact, truly impactful from God, that is a man of sin. No. 1 Corinthians 6, 18. The Bible says, run from sexual sin. Run. Why? No other sin so clearly affects the body. Clearly. Like it's clear. Other sins you might be, still thinking, but this one is clear. You can clearly see what it is doing to a person. No other sin so clearly affects your impact, so clearly affects your efforts, so clearly affects your hard work. No other sin can do what the sexual sin can do. Lord, help us. Help us. Help us, Jesus. Help us. Help us. He said, for sexual immorality is a sin against your own impact. It's a sin against your own work. It's a sin against your own body. Your body is a thing we can touch. It's sin against your own work, your own life. No wonder Joseph said in Genesis 39 verse 9, there is no one greater in this house than I, nor has the master kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Great wickedness. Great wickedness. Not just wickedness. Great wickedness. It's a great wickedness. No wonder the impact of Joseph is generational. Man, he impacted that house. He impacted the prison. He impacted the palace. He impacted the king. He impacted the land. He impacted the whole country. And he impacted his native country too. A lot of that impact came from the strength of this act. Lord, help us. I tell you, we need grace. We need grace because we are living in a sexually charged and sexually polluted world. And no wonder our generation has no impact. Because the first thing Satan uses these days to control people is lust. You must listen to my teachings on 21 Days of Glory. I've spoken about it in one of the teachings. I've given details. Number 5. You are created for so much more. But you must get connected. You must get connected. The Bible says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. It is John Maxwell who said, one is too small a number to achieve success. One is too small a number to achieve success. Solomon said it this way, two are better than one. Two are better. You must fight the spirit of isolation if you're going to have any impact. You are this person, you are always thinking of leaving. You are always thinking of dissociating yourself. You are always pulling out. You are always on your side. There will be no impact. there'll be no impact. Or if there will be impact, it will be so small. To have great impact, you need to stick with the groups God gave you. Because your impact depends on those groups. You have no impact by yourself. No man is an island. Now, when you start coming with independent spirits, you want to do your own things, you want to go your own way, and then you let offense enter, then you let passivity enter, then you let criticism enter. Before you realize, you have turned into a disloyal, disconnected, dislocated person. Dislocated person. Your mind is different. Satan is slowly but surely giving you another mind, giving you another heart, and pulling you out of the group. You cannot maintain and sustain impact on your own. The Bible says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Why? Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there must be unity. The Bible says in Jude chapter 1 verse 19, these are they that separate from themselves, not having the Spirit. These are they that separate themselves, not having the Spirit. When you see people separating themselves, they don't have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of unity, the Spirit of togetherness, working together. Does that mean there will be no problems? No. But we work through the problem. That's how we grow. That's how we mature. That's how we become stronger. I've taught in this church many times before, living can never be the solution. Can never be the solution. Many people, Satan was trying to get to live. When they stayed a bit longer, they realized things cleared up. It's just like when you get to a place and you get to the river. We used to go to the rivers before. When you get to the river, find out some naughty boys were there. They have smelled the whole water. The whole water is dirty now. Will you now renounce and denounce the river? You say, no, this is a very dirty river. I can never swim here. Give it some time. After a few minutes, all that dirt will settle down. And the water becomes clean and clear again. And you can drink it again. You can swim in it again. Never leave the place where God planted you simply because there's agitation. Things might cool off later and you regret why you left. Stay connected. I say stay connected. Amen. Number six, you are created for so much more, but you must get anointed. Must get anointed. You must get anointed. You will not achieve much without the anointing. You will not. You will not. Zechariah 4 verse 6. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. You can put your name there. God is talking to you. This is the word of the Lord to Pascal. We usually say Zerubbabel died a long time ago. He received the word. The word is no more benefiting Zerubbabel. Who can benefit from this word is you. So put your name there. God is talking. Because every time you say, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, you are clearing yourself. God is talking to Zerubbabel. It takes deeper understanding to make it your own because you are using another person's name. This is the word of the Lord to who? To Pascal. To you. Not by might. Nor by power. But by my spirit. By the anointing. By the anointing. Show me a man of impact. I will show you a man who honors the anointing. I'll show you a man who pursues the anointing. I'll show you a woman who loves the anointing, who read anointed books, who listen to anointing messages, who goes to anointing camps. Those are the people that receive the anointing. And those are the people that will have impact. Because everything is done by the anointing. I mean, no wonder. It was Nicodemus who told Jesus, no one can perform the signs you are doing if God is not with him. But if you go to Acts 10:38, he started first by saying that God anointed him, then God was with him. So you see that he was basically saying that if God does not anoint the person, they cannot do what they are doing. Listen to me. If God doesn't anoint me, I will not be standing where I'm standing with the nice background that you are seeing behind me, wearing the suit I'm wearing. I don't know where I will be. Only God knows. I tell you that if God does not anoint you a lot of things will remain dreams. You'll be building castles in the air. That because God is anointing you this Sunday, amen. Hallelujah, this coming Sunday, you are receiving an anointing from God. And this whole year, I want you to become an anointed freak person. Yes, sir. Oh, I mean, I can never go for 2 weeks without listening to a message on the anointing. I can't. It's not possible. It's intentional. I must listen to something on the subject of the anointing constantly to remind myself it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the anointing. So I must pray, Lord, anoint me more. And the Bible says, if you being wicked know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the anointing to those who ask, to those who ask, to those who ask. Have you been asking for the anointing? I know you've been asking for money. I know you've been asking for a job. You've been asking for things. But Nicodemus didn't say, if the person doesn't have money. He says, if the anointing is not with the person, they cannot accomplish these things. Oh, may you be anointed. May God anoint you in 2024 for a greater impact. May your life reflect the level of the anointing on your life. Number 7. You are created for so much more, but you must be, or you must get discipled. You must get discipled. You must. It's a must. It's a must. You cannot have the impact you want to have without a mentor. You will not have it. As great as Ricardo is it this soccer player? Ronaldo. As great as Ronaldo is, he has a coach. There's no greatness without coaching. There's nothing like that. Mark 1:17. Jesus said to them, follow me. I will make you. I will make you people of impact. Eh? Fishers of men. Is there a better impact than that? Fishers of men. Do you know what that means? You are impacting men. You are pulling men. You are drawing men. That's great impact. These guys were impacting fish. But Jesus came and said, I'm going to turn you into impactful people. You know more impact fish, caterpillar, sardines and all of those. You're now going to impact kings. You're going to impact people. But the key, follow me. Come under discipline. Get under discipline. Let somebody speak into your life. Submit yourself to somebody who can start directing you. Who can start talking to you. The reason why not much has happened, because you are directing yourself. You are following yourself. I promise you, this last point is the mother of all points. Like, you see, even the anointing, you can't get it if you're not following a person. All these other things are connected to discipleship. You must be discipled. Being discipled means that there's somebody that you have given permission to speak to you. Somebody you have given permission to correct you, to mold you, to help you. And without you getting offended, that is where we are going this year. Where you can allow a person. Because we've been treated like eggshells. That's why there's not enough impact. We are eggshells. You take gently. You live with precaution. And you drop calmly. Hey, my God. That's why there's no impact. That's why your life that is created for so much more has been producing so much little. There's nobody saying, hey, stop that, do that. No, there's nothing. You are just free. From January to December, you are just moving with your own pace. What if your pace is wrong? What if your thoughts are not right? I mean, you have been trusting yourself. Man, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Like you are entrusting yourself with yourself. You are not even 50. The oldest man on earth is not 150, the oldest one. I mean, in the whole world, we don't have somebody that is 150. How old are you to trust yourself? If there is 150, it doesn't go beyond 160. It can't go beyond that. In this world, where? Huh? You are just 20-something and you are trusting your judgment. You are trusting your decisions. My God, it's deception. And the Lord has sent me to help you break out of those deceptions in the name of Jesus. Am I advocating control that you don't have a life, you become a puppet? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying what Jesus is saying, follow me. While you are following me, you will be made into a man of impact. You will be made into a woman of impact. Stand on your feet, please. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Right where you are, just thank God for these 7 points. Start thanking Him. Start thanking Him. Start thanking Him that the 7 points, and begin to allow them to enter you. Let the points enter you. Let the points enter you. You don't know them. You need to hear them again. Let the points enter. Let the points enter. Shebre kato falamenda. Kajapra katole belemande. Zapronte kafala brelegando. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The power of your word. The power of your word is redeeming us. It's changing us. It's building us. Shaping us. The power of your word. The power of your word. Thank you, Lord. Use this word in this ministry. Use this word in our network. Bless this word. Give it wings. Cause it to fly and touch more lives and change more destinies and redeem many from the pit and many from destruction. Bless this word, Lord. Remove every obstacle before it. Remove every obstacle before it. Cause it to reach where it's supposed to reach. Sow it in the house of your children as a seed and let that seed produce a great harvest. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Quickly this morning, if you are not born again, I want to pray for you. You are saying, Pastor, I want to take the first step to a life of impact. It begins with accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. If you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I don't think you will have a good success. You might have success, but not a good success. You might have impact, but not a great impact. Not a good impact. I mean, Jesus is not the only person giving people impact. Satan gives impact. It's for his benefit to destroy people's destinies and souls. I want you to have good success, great impact, positive impact. For that to happen, the master of impact himself must enter you. At the count of three, raise your right hand if you want to be born again, and I'll pray for you. 1, 2, 3, your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you want to recommit yourself to God. You maybe need to get clean up, get back up, get down, get deep, get connected, get discipled, get anointed. I don't know which get you are getting. But whatever it is, at the count of three, you are saying, Pastor, I want you to get back up again. I want you to commit myself to God. I'd like to pray with you. Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let us pray together. Repeat these blessed words after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again. That I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin and deception to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me, for impacting me, and turning me into an impact to my world. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you've prayed that prayer, Jesus, the master impactor, has entered your heart. I tell you, the Holy Spirit, the impact itself, the maker of destiny, he's entering you now. and it's going to change your life, your ministry, your family, your job, anything you are busy with. You are getting anointed, impacted by the Spirit, and revived. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Let's celebrate Jesus for them. Hallelujah. Precious family, thank you so much for joining and tuning in. I believe that this word that keeps coming every week is going to change our lives. Amen. So make sure you share it. Tell people about it. Send links. Do whatever you can do. Invite people to like it with you. Organize a watch party. Do whatever you can do. But get your people, especially if you are a cell leader, as we are preparing towards the beginning of cells, why don't you gather 2-3 people, sit with them with a laptop, and start. You just start rebuilding your team. Do you understand? This is how we're doing things now. Amen. May God bless you greatly. Let's share the grace of the Lord together today. 1, 2, 3, let's go. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. 2024, my year of discipleship. I will be a true disciple. I will make true disciples. By the grace of God, I will touch many lives for Jesus this year. Amen. Be blessed. See you next week. Thank you.